The fifth word is John 19, 28. I thirst. So, how many here have seen movies where you go into the future? Where you seen a movie where a person or persons go into the future or to the past? No hands? Okay, it's okay. So, anyways, back to the future. So Jesus says, I thirst. And I'd like for us to imagine that we're going back. That we're going back and we're going to stand right there next to Jesus' mother, Mary, and the other three Marys, and the Apostle John. And they've all, we've all, most of the prior, the other persons that came before me, they all spoke a little, they spoke on this, but I want to kind of just like reiterate it. We're standing there. We've been journeying with Jesus for 3 years now. We've been following him for 3 years. John, John's mother, Magdalene, Mary Magdalene. We've been following, we've been journeying with Jesus. And at this point, Jesus is at the cross. And John kind of whispers to us and notifies to us and informs us that, you know, they arrested Jesus yesterday. It's been 18 hours. He hasn't eaten, hasn't drank anything. And he's been under scrutiny. He's been tortured. And on top of that, since yesterday, he's now been hanging on this cross for 6 hours. So we're all wondering. We're all looking at Jesus. And Jesus has now been rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law. They have condemned the Son of Man to death. The true colors of the religious establishment of the day is openly revealed. They mock him. They spit on him. Then they flog him. And they commit a slow, horrific, barbaric, most inhumane, murderous act on Jesus, our Lord. And it's obvious Jesus is suffering from excruciating dehydration. It's obvious his body has lost much blood. His internal organs are shutting down. And he's about to die at any given time. And we're standing there with the three Marys and John the disciple. Our Messiah is dying. Jesus is dying. And we hear him utter these words, I thirst. He barely gets enough gumption to say, I thirst. Can you imagine hanging on the cross and being held on there by nails, by these irons in your hands and your feet? And in order to catch a breath, he's got to kind of chug himself up, kind of pull himself up to get some air in his lungs so he can say, I thirst. I totally can't relate to that, but I'll tell you what. They split my back open last year, and they put 34 staples in it to open my back and get some cancer out of my spine. For a whole month, I tried to, you know, when you're in bed and you want to try to scoot yourself up to drink some water, to maybe watch TV or eat your food off your plate, and you pulled yourself up. But it was so painful for me. I cried out to God and said, oh man, am I ever gonna get any better, Lord? Is this ever gonna change? So, yes, he says, I thirst. But then, this is Jesus who once said, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. John 4:13-14. Jesus also said, he who believes in me will never be thirsty. John 6:35. On another occasion, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And now our Savior, and now our King, our Messiah, our Jesus is hanging on the cross, gasping for some water. What could be going on through their minds? Remember, we're there with them. So what's going on through our minds? Their world has been shaken. Their world has been rocked. What do they do with the hope they had in their Messiah? Do they keep on believing, or do they just hang up the towel and go back to doing what they used to do before? Their king is dying and thirsty, and their hopes are shattered. Have you ever been there where your hopes are shattered? Where for some reason or other, you wonder if there's a God. You wonder if he's alive. You wonder if he cares. You kind of wonder if he forgot about you. And wow. What happened to his promises? What of his promises? Furthermore, what could Jesus be thirsty for? Even if he was to be given a glass of water, would that revive him? Would that help him? I don't think so. He's too far gone. Any moment he's going to die. So in that state where you're physically torn to bits, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, you're down, right? Your hopes are, you just pray and hope that God will listen. At least that's what I thought when I was in the hospital for a month. Jesus was thirsty. Jesus had just recently called out that he was forsaken. Jesus thirsted. What was he thirsting for? I think he was thirsting for God Almighty. He was thirsting that he wouldn't forget him, that he would remember him. I remember praying, Lord, don't forget me, remember me. This poor sinner, remember me. And Jesus thirsted. Jesus was forsaken by God. Jesus longed to be in the presence of God. And I think since he quoted from the Psalms, from the Torah, from the prophets, so many times in the Gospels, I believe that while he was hanging there, thirsty, he remembered Isaiah 55:1. And what does it say? Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. He thought if I can, that verse came to him. Then I truly believe Jesus was also thirsty to be in God's presence. So uh, Psalm 42, 1 and 2. And it reads, Psalm 42, 1 and 2. It's an amazing verse. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When you're under a crisis, when you're in an illness, when you're in a terrible circumstance, or maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's a loved one that's lost. Maybe it's a loved one that's going through a time of suffering, a time that is hard for that person. Maybe you lost someone through death, through a divorce or something. I know I lost someone through a divorce 17 years ago. Thank God that God has healed me. But I'll tell you something. I felt an emptiness in my gut, and it felt so ugly, I wished to die. We long for our soul to be quenched by the living God. Psalm 63:1 also. As Jesus hung on the cross thirsty, I recall this verse, that maybe Jesus was thinking about this verse. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water. Wow. How? When Jesus thought about this verse, he was comforted, I would like to think, because we're going to read on. Then we're going to read Psalm 143, verses 4, 6, and 7. Psalm 143, as Jesus is hanging on the cross and he says, I thirst, I think he was thinking about this psalm also. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Has your spirit ever failed? Have you ever been so downcast that you for whatever reason you just call out to God, you remember His promises, you remember His word? I believe Jesus longed and hoped his thirst would be quenched by God Himself. You know, Jesus refers to God as Father in the Gospel of John 113 times. In the Gospel of John. I love the Gospel of John, by the way. And he refers to him as Father. Now we're going to go in more intimately. So what's this Jesus' thirst? John 17, 4 and 5. If you have your Bible or your smartphone, you can look it up right quick. John 17. This verse is going to blow you away. Oops. John 17, 4 and 5. States like this. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. His work is complete. He's hanging there on the cross. His work is complete. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. And so, I believe that Jesus is totally wanting to be next to the Father. He's wanting to be there next to Him because that's where He's at home. Now, I'm going to write these, I'm going to read these verses right quick because it's only a few. John 1:1, and we're going to stay in chapter 1. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So that's why he can claim that he was with God before the foundation of the world. Verse 10, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Look what they did to him. Look what we did to him. Look what happened to him. So he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. The Word became flesh, verse 14. The Word became flesh and was made and made his dwelling among us. And verse 18, I love this verse. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. The Gospel of Mark, in the prayer of Gethsemane, the Gospel of Mark states that Jesus calls his Father, Abba, Father. A very intimate saying in Hebrew. It's like we would say daddy, papi, papa. It's like the little children here calling their dads, papi, papa. And that's how we can go to God, papi. That's the way I go to him. Father, papa, I need your help. Only you can help me in this area. Only you can help me right here. And so when we thirst in that manner, I pray you call upon our Heavenly Father who will meet your need, meet my need, anytime, any place, anywhere. Have a good night. Amen.